You want to open up your Bibles? We're going to be in the 46th Psalm this morning. Again, Psalm number 46. I know I've probably shared with you before a little bit about my calling experience, my coming to faith. And in that story, you probably heard, maybe you remember, maybe you don't, that I felt called into the ministry of some sort, really felt called to be a preacher as much as I knew it then, at the age of 15 years old at a church camp in the middle of West Texas in a little town, if you would call it a town, called Looters. And feeling the call at 15, again, to me at the time, it was just to preach, like to go and do what I saw the guy on stage doing at youth camp that year. And that's all it really meant for me at that time. Fast forward about 5, 6, 7 years, I'm in my first church as a pastor at the age of 20. I don't know what the pastor search committee was thinking when I look back at that, but I was there at the age of 20, and suddenly I had business meetings that I needed to be the moderator of. I had people that I had to visit in the hospital. I had to walk through a very tough time with a family that lost a child. He was in his 20s, but still it was this horrible situation. And while I was doing that, I was newly married and dealing with school and taking Greek and Hebrew classes and all of the stuff that come with being in sort of a Bible college kind of feel. And it was in that moment, in those first several years, nearly 5 years. It was during those years that I realized that there was a lot more to it than what I thought when I was 15 years old. I had the general idea at 15, like this is like generally speaking what I want to do, what I want my life to be about. But when it came to the particulars that I learned early on in ministry, I realized again that the general idea was not enough. There was a lot more to it, a lot of things that I needed to be more intentional about. You see, it's one thing to have a general idea that you might apply when a certain set of circumstances come your direction. It's a completely different thing to have an exact strategy for those circumstances when they arise. If I'm being honest with you, I often find myself encountering circumstances for which I feel ill-prepared. Like I have a general idea of what I want to do, but specifically in the situation, I only have enough information to simply react. Anybody else identify with this? I just react at things as they come at me instead of actually taking the time to respond with forethought and with diligence. And many people, probably some of you included, feel this same tension. I think in the busyness and the fast-pacedness of our society, it is fairly common. So many people experience this tension indeed that we have coined an idea or a phrase to try to combat against it. We call living intentionally. It has become this catchphrase as a way to combat that sense of just reacting and instead approach life with a strategy, with something in mind, with something ahead of time, some forethought as you encounter circumstances as they come your direction. And so along with that idea of living intentionally, the next several weeks, or really throughout the entire month of November, we are going to look at this idea from a biblical perspective. Faith on Purpose is the name of this series that we're calling it. And we're going to look at several different aspects of our faith life and the way that we walk through our faith life, the way that we follow Jesus, and how we can do that intentionally, with response, with forethought, and not simply reacting as stuff comes in our direction. Again, maybe you can identify with this sense of just reacting, feeling like you're fending off whatever's coming down the pike. Are you tired of just getting by while life happens to you? You ever felt that way? Like life just kind of happens to you and you're stuck in that kind of, oh my goodness, what am I going to do in this situation? What am I going to do in this situation? How am I going to pay this bill? What am I going to do with the job in this circumstance? Many of us are so busy, pulled in so many different directions that we have an incredible, in our society, we have an incredible lack of focus. The ability to concentrate on one thing at a time. We're busy back and forth from one thing to another, and therefore things just sort of happen to us. It's like a fighter. Those of you who like boxing, I know boxing is kind of getting to be passé now that we're more into the ultimate fighting and all that kind of stuff. But if you can imagine a boxer who is in a constant defensive stance and doing nothing but dodging the blows of the other boxer coming his direction, that's kind of what I see our society in. I see myself in that light sometimes. And maybe, again, you can find yourself in that kind of illustration as well, that you're feeling like you're just defending yourself. You're just dodging what life throws at you instead of having an intentional plan of attack to go back against what life is throwing at you. Again, you might have a general idea of what you want things to look like. a general plan on how you want your relationship with God to go, your relationship with your family, job, etc., to get better. But do you really have an actual strategy? Do you have an actual plan? Is there something you are doing in your life to help you draw closer to God, closer to your family, closer to what you want to be in your career? It's like the politician, and we know this, right? We're in the middle of a big political season. Does anybody else feel like we're always in the middle of a big political season these days? We grow weary of it, right? We grow so weary of it because we see people, men, most of the time, we're getting more women in the running now, but we see them standing in front of everybody and saying, well, I believe we ought to pay off the national debt in 10 years, or I believe that we ought to be free from dependence on foreign oil, or I believe that we ought to get out of this particular country that our military is in this many years. And then somebody asks the question, okay, that's a great idea. How is that going to happen? And they have no answer. You know what I'm talking about, right? Have a big plan, but no specifics on how they want that plan to become a reality. And it's not one side or the other. That's just politics in general. And so we are going to look at practical ways, again, throughout the next month, that we can live intentionally in several aspects of our faith life. Our relationship with God, the way we relate to ourselves, the way we care for ourselves, our relationship with other people. Obviously, in the month of November, we're going to talk about how we can give thanks intentionally, how giving thanks is something that we do and not just some sentiment that we have. And then finally, we're going to end the month on looking at how we can reach out in the future and hopefully have a preview of some things we're going to do at the beginning of the year to reach out with intentionality to the lost and the unchurched around us. But this morning, we're going to start with the most essential, as far as you are concerned, each of you, the most essential of those things about which we ought to be intentional, and that is our relationship with God. Seemingly the most basic thing, the thing that we often take for granted when we are in a room full of Christians, but something, maybe the most important thing that we need to work on living intentionally with in our society as a church today. As you're thinking about your relationship with God, is it intentional or does it just kind of happen? Do you hope to meet with God when you get a chance, or do you have a set time and place where you meet with God every day? And that's going to be the big idea this morning, which I want you to take home with you. Give God a piece of every day. That's the sermon in a sentence, if you will. Give God a piece of every day. Again, seemingly simple. Seemingly something that we take for granted, but I would venture to say that if all of us were to say, I spent time with God every day, if we were forced to say that this past week, there probably would be some liars among you, right? And I'm going to be honest, it was a busy week this week. Seems like last week and the week before that and the week before that was pretty busy too. And so sometimes I too find it hard to the point where I fail occasionally, as in a lot more than I want to have that time with God that I want to set aside and intentionally set aside for just Him. So give God a piece of every day. There's your general idea. Let's flesh it out. Throughout the scriptures, we find the people of God speaking about their relationship with God as friend and savior and comforter and Lord, the master of everything. Those who followed God most closely spoke of their relationship with God in terms of intensity and passion and intimacy that we seem to lack in our culture today, in our Christian culture today. And some of the finest examples, some of the most explicit examples of that kind of intensity in relationship, that kind of intentionality in relationship with God are found in the Psalms. The book of Psalms is full of people singing praises to God, of people in the midst of relating to God as they write down what this relationship and what this devotion to their God looks like. And the height of their descriptions throughout the book of Psalms, when they reach their apex in describing their relationship with God, it moves almost to the point of art, doesn't it? It is something beautiful to behold the way that these men who are writing down these poems, these pieces of literature, how they relate to God and the friendship and the devotion and the closeness that they find in their relationship with God. One of the more well-known of these descriptions in the book of Psalms is in Psalm chapter 46. You're likely going to recognize verses 1 and 10, but there is beauty throughout the entire psalm, throughout the entire piece. So again, I'm going to read all of Psalm 46. It's just a few verses, so it won't take too long, but all of chapter 46 in the book of Psalms. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is a very present help in times of trouble. Again, a verse many of you know well. This verse and this psalm as a whole reminds us that no matter what is going on around us, God is there for us to run to. No matter whether things are falling apart or things are perfect, God is our refuge, the place to which we can run, the place to which we can find solace and comfort and satisfaction. Even as the nations rage and the kingdoms totter, again, look at the beautiful poetic language of the psalm. Even though those things happen, even though everything is raging around us, when God speaks, the earth melts. You get that picture. It's as if everything else going on around us is superfluous when it comes to our relationship with God. That all of the busyness and all of the chaos and all the bigness of the world around us melts away when we hear God's voice. You ever been in that circumstance? Have you ever been in a storm of life where you feel like kingdoms are tottering around you? Maybe not actual nations, but maybe your own kingdom. Maybe there is some rage going on around you. Maybe there is something that seems to be throwing everything off kilter. And you find a time, you make a time to be alone with God. And when God speaks, the world melts away. Have you ever felt that comfort? Have you ever felt that solace in the midst of a storm? This is what the psalmist is talking about. When God speaks, the earth melts away. God is a very present help in times of trouble. We could run to God for any reason, and he will be there for us. He will be there in us and be there for us. A refrain that is repeated throughout this psalm is that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the master of all the angels in the universe, of the heavenly host, of all the powers that exist in the entire universe, this God is with us. The God of Jacob, the God of the patriarchs, the God who did all of the miracles that we find in the Old and New Testament, but all of those miracles back in the times of the Exodus, when God did big, amazing things, when he simply spoke the world into existence, that God is with us. When we are with God, we have refuge. We have a place to run in time of trouble. But without God, we have no refuge. It would be no surprise for me this morning to tell you a very simple truth, yet it is a truth we need to repeat to ourselves. We need God. It is not an extra for us to spend time with God. It is not an extra comfort or an extra thing that we can add to our day, something that if we have time, we can get to because that will make us feel better for a moment. No, we need God. We need a relationship with God. We need time with God. And if we are not making that time, we will find out just how badly we need it. Do you need food every day? Now, I know if you're like me, some of us could maybe go with a day or two without food. Can I get an amen on that from anybody? And insert nervous laughter. Yeah, that's usually what happens. But in reality, we can't deal without food, maybe for a day at a time. You know, we can fast, something like that. We got a doctor's appointment coming up, and we have to. Maybe we can go without it for a while. But what happens? Even if you're like me, if you miss like a meal, you begin to feel it. right? You miss an afternoon snack. Maybe you even feel that. But you know what it is? We don't really know what it is to be hungry in our country for the most part. Most of us who live and have access to food and eat out whenever we want to, that's a lot of us in the room this morning. It's not the case for everybody in our country, certainly not the case for everybody in our town, but the case for most of us in the room. We don't know what it's like to experience that hunger. But when you felt it, you remember it, right? Whenever you were off working and you couldn't make time to actually go and consume some kind of sustenance, and you find yourself at the end of the day being like, I haven't eaten all day, and you realize that there is this grumbling in your stomach, that you feel a little weird, that maybe it's even beginning to cramp because you haven't had any food. What about water? We need that even more, don't we? If you find yourself thirsting, you know how badly you need water. If we were to take a day off from eating and drinking, we would realize how badly we needed those things. That's part of the beauty of fasting, and we can talk about that some other time, but we would certainly realize the beauty that we needed of those things. Don't you think, church, you need God worse than that? In John chapter 4, when Jesus talks to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, the disciples aren't there during that whole thing because they have gone in to get some food, right? They come back to Jesus after he has had this encounter with the woman. They're a little bothered about him talking with the woman, but they also have food to give back to him. And Jesus, you remember this, right? Even though he was hungry and sent them into town to get food, after this interaction with the woman, he's not hungry anymore. And they're perplexed by it. And he says, I have food to eat that you don't know about. There is nothing that satisfies our soul like the presence of the Lord. We need God. It is not an extra. It is something that is absolutely essential for us to have a consistent, constant relationship with our Heavenly Father, the Lord of hosts. And if we do not do that, we are leaving ourselves vulnerable. If we do not have an intentional relationship with God. In this psalm, we have a command from God. Be still. Be still. I don't know how many times I repeat that to my 3-year-old son every day. Would you just be still? Like, stop. You know, get down. Stop that. Like, just let's not do that. Don't throw that. Can we just be still for a second? We're in a restaurant, especially, right? Can you just sit there and eat? The burger is not something that you play with. Can I get an amen on that, please, parents? The burger is not something that you play with. The fries are not something that you try to build stuff with. Just sit there. Please stop staring at the people next to us. Can you just be still? I wonder if God has that same reaction to us sometimes as we frustrate ourselves with all the busyness around us, right? And he has this wonderful meal for us that is his presence. And we're doing this and we're doing that and we're all over the place. I can sense God sometimes saying to me, would you just be still and intentionally live in my presence? Intentionally carve out a spot in every single day to spend time with God. Give God a piece of every day. Here are some real life practical examples or practical things that you can use. Those of you who are familiar with an author, her name is Lisa Turkhurst. She is president of the Proverbs 31 ministry. She's a big national, perhaps international women's ministry. She created this idea of the first five, of giving your first 5 minutes to God. And those of you who have smartphones and that sort of thing, there's a first five app, firstfive.org. The word first spelled out, the number 5.org can take you to that information if you can get on the internet. And she encourages people that when they first wake up, to have something, and she has a little devotion that you can download on your phone, that when you first wake up, to give 5 minutes, your first 5 minutes to the Lord. Because even though I don't know how many of you use smartphones a ton, but in my generation, in our culture today, when people wake up, that's usually one of the first things they pick up and they start glancing through Facebook. She, using that time that we often spend in our world today, she decided to point it in a different, better direction and say, give your first five to the Lord. And so maybe that's something you can do. You don't have to have the app to do it, right? You can have a Bible beside your bed, on your bedstand. And when you wake up, the first 5 minutes, just say, alarm goes off at 6 o'clock, from 6 o'clock to 6:05. Or if it takes you 5 minutes to wake up, then again, can I get an amen? From 6:05 to 6:10, to give those first 5 minutes to the Lord. Maybe you're more of a last five kind of person. Or maybe you're more of a night owl. I can identify with you if that's the case. Perhaps then you can give those last five to God as well. And this doesn't have to be set in stone. Maybe it turns into the first 10 or the first 30 or first hour, whatever it is for you. But maybe first five is a place to start. Do you make time with God every day? Maybe for you, it's during your lunch break. Maybe it's during your commute, especially if it's a restless commute. Regardless, you, all of us, can be intentional about making a commitment. At this time or at this place, every day, I will give God blank. I will give God so many minutes. I will give God so much time. And then make that commitment with yourself and move forward now. Again, be flexible moving forward, but start with something today. Be still, God says, and know that I'm God. Knowing God implies the idea of meditating on God, an idea that we would call prayer. Pray with intentionality just as you take time intentionally to spend with God. Consider using the age-old valuable treasure that is the prayer journal. Get a piece of paper and write down your prayer requests. And maybe if you feel God answers those prayers, you can go back and record them later. Keep something like that on your person. And when those issues come up, you can just jot them down really quick. And today when we have these, if you guys know how to work a smartphone, you have so much access to how quickly it is to be intentional with your prayer life. I have an app on my phone called Echo. If any of you are interested in it, it's a place where you can fill out a list of your prayers. And then you can say, okay, I have 20 minutes to pray. I'll set the clock to 20 minutes, and then I can kind of go through each thing. It shows up on my phone. I can swipe or I can program it to do it automatically. And during that time, I can pray over all of those things that I have built into this list throughout the day as they come up. It's a very good, easy thing for those of you who are into technology. If you're not, again, just create a prayer journal. Take the church's prayer list home. Join us on Wednesday and get one of those, or come by the office and tell us that you want one. We'll email it to you. We email you prayer requests all the time because Sharon is really good about that. Let's appreciate our staff again, right? So you have access to those sorts of things, those opportunities to pray with intentionality, not just kind of as things come at you, but maybe during that time that you have set aside every day, you can go to God with prayer requests that you have intentionally thought about, that you have intentionally built, and you are intentionally listening to sense the answer of God in the midst of those prayer requests. Be still and know that I am God. It also means learning about Him or reading His Word, and to do so with intentionality. Those of you who have a Bible in your home, you will find that most of those Bibles have reading plans within them, ways that you can read through the Bible. Sometimes even the simplest of Bibles, the very simple Bibles that we have that we give away to people when they need one, they have like reading plans in the back and in the front of those. Reading plans to read through the entire Bible, reading plans to get an idea of what the whole Bible is about. Take one of those and adopt that into your life and begin to read through the Bible intentionally. Maybe it's a daily devotional that you use. There's classics like My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, who takes this idea and gives just a brief portion of scripture and an extended discussion about how to apply that scripture and gets it into every day of our lives. Go to Lifeway, look around, go to Amazon. You could find all sorts of those things. I encourage you to research it and make sure it's legit, but you can find those things all over the place. Daily devotions to spend time in God's Word. And again, those of you who have an iPhone, those of you who have an Android, right? There's an app, another app that I use called DVO, like the letters D-V-O, and it's built off of this same idea. It takes a portion of scripture along with some beautiful graphics and builds a lesson out of that that I can apply every day into my life. And you can do that with the Bible app. Those of you who have that, Bible.com, they have reading plans on that as well. There's tons of stuff out there for you to read the Bible intentionally with a plan. And we now offer, as you saw in the video just a second ago, we offer a program where you can dive into the Bible full tilt with Faith Bible Institute. It requires a little bit of a monetary and time sacrifice from you, but I believe that those are in the room that are going through that would say that that sacrifice is worth it. See a lot of heads nodding back at me. It's something that you can give yourself to go through the Bible intentionally. fulfilling. Your Sunday school, you coming here and being a part of this, all of that is part of it as well. But be still. Make a time for God. Give God a piece of every day. Be still and know that I'm God. Spend time intentionally with prayer. Spend time intentionally learning about God through His Word. When I lack intentionality on spending time with God, when I lack that plan, that strategy that at this time or at this place I will spend time with God, I often find myself forgetting to spend that time or remembering it at the middle, in the middle of the day or at the end of the day and doing it real quick and not being intentional about it and missing the blessing that that can be in my life. And when that happens, when I miss that time alone with God, I find myself less confident. I might find myself more prone to negative emotions, more prone to moral distractions, and most of all, I find myself tired. I find myself burned out when I haven't spent time in the presence of our Lord. But when my relationship with God is intentional, when my relationship with God is strong, I feel bolder. I'm more confident. I'm happier. I feel more purposeful about my entire life. And most of all, I feel energized. Anybody needs some energy this morning? It is found in the presence of the Lord. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Why would I choose to skip that? Why would I choose to skip that? But that's just it, isn't it? I don't choose to skip that. I don't choose at all. I just kind of hope that it gets done. What I don't choose to do is to spend time with the Lord. When we think about intentional living, we can often live just with good intentions. There's a very marked difference between those two ways of life. Good intentions are, I hope that I get to spend some time with God, or I really want to spend some time with God. Intentional living is, I will give this time to God. And following through with that strategy, that plan. Why would we skip it? We wouldn't. But if we don't choose to do it, our time will choose for us. And it will choose against spending time with God. And when I fail to choose to spend time with God, I suffer the consequences. Again, I know this seems simple, but this is one of the most important concepts in the Christian life. The most important is finding Jesus as Savior. But if you want sustaining grace, if you want the sustaining presence of the Lord, you must intentionally, strategically have a planned response to what this world is going to throw at you so that you give a piece of every day to God. There is power and peace to be found in the presence of the Lord. Imagine what we could do. Imagine what we could do if we daily tapped into that power. And when I say we, I mean all of us. What could we accomplish if our entire community had a daily, powerful, intentional relationship with the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob? What could God do just through the people in this room if we all gave a piece of every day to God? So what I want you to do, as we think about the practicality of it all, as we think about living intentionally, what you can do, very simply, carve out a time. Make a commitment right now or in the next few hours while it's fresh on your mind, and carve out a time and a place every day that you can give to God. And in the midst of that time, pray intentionally. Don't just kind of pray, be with this person, be with that person. Make a list. Do something. Write it down. Keep a journal. Get an app. Do something to pray through those things intentionally. And then read intentionally. Find a Bible reading plan. Find a daily devotion that you can work through to keep yourself always founded in the Word. Carve out time, pray intentionally, and read intentionally. A church that intentionally gives itself to God every day is a church that will find itself being transformed by the power of God into what God wants that church to be. Let us kind of end with those words that the psalmist ends with. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's time for all of us in this room, and I would argue for every Christian on this planet, but especially in this country, to create an intentional plan to take advantage of the refuge that is our God. a very present help in times of trouble, always there for us when we need him, something to which we ought to take advantage every day. But do we? If you don't, you can begin today. This is not one of those where I make everybody who has a daily quiet time stand up and then you look down at everybody else around you. It's not one of those where I make you feel guilty for not having a quiet time. This is one of those sermons when I show you how simple it is to do the most important thing that you can do in your life as a Christian to be sustained by the presence of God. Give God a piece of every day. Let's stand together. During our time of invitation, I want you to think about, when can that time be? What can I do to pray intentionally? What can I do to read intentionally? If you need to pray about that or anything else, I'm here to do that with you this morning. If all of this is kind of failing to make sense to you because you don't have a relationship with Jesus, the first intentional decision you can make is to come to him as Savior. Ask him to save you, and then we can work on this other stuff. And if you want to know Jesus for the first time this morning, I can lead you in that direction during our time of invitation, or you can find me after the service. Again, the altar is open. I'm here to pray about whatever you need to pray about. Let's pray to God. I'll pray to God. Bill will lead us in our time of invitation, and you move in whatever way God is calling. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. God, we thank you for the fact that he lived with intentionality. That God, you had a plan all along. That it wasn't something that just happened to you. But you interacted with this world according to your plan, and because you did that, we have access to your son. We have access to eternal life and forgiveness. God, thank you for that. God, may you inject us with that same spirit. God, may you convict each heart here this morning to give a piece of every day to you and show them how to do that. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.